Mike Gill. I want to welcome and thank everybody again for being here this morning. Don't forget to hit that like button. All right. A great NFL draft for the Eagles. We had two great guests on yesterday. All right. Two great guests coming up for you guys today. Let's get to Mike Gill joining us here on Birds 365. You can follow him at Mike Gill Show. All right. Go check him out on YouTube at Mike Gill Show over there as well. Mike, welcome to the show, man. How you doing here on this Wednesday morning?
I'm doing well, boys. What's going on?
Doing well, Mike, basking in the shadow of the draft that is now behind us. You get to talk about it every day with your listeners and the text line, and how do they feel about the Eagles Hall? A lot of optimism, I get. Do you get that same optimism?
Yeah, you know, well, it's funny because I think what Roseman has created over the last couple of years is benefit of the doubt. So even if you didn't like picks, it's almost, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt because they've done such a good job.
I think he's earned a lot of that, Mike. I do think he's earned a lot of that, right?
Yeah. And look, they, you know, they filled a lot of areas where they had, you know, where they had to replenish. The question that we asked, you know, throughout yesterday, you know, is, listen, I saw a poll that Kevin Sheehan from, 980 the team down in Washington ran. I thought it was interesting, kind of the basis of some conversation we had on my show yesterday. And he asked the Washington fans, do they think that they are closer to Philly, further from Philly, or about the same as they were last year after now the draft is now over? And about 53% thinks they're closer to Philadelphia. And I don't think that's outlandish if you look at it of, hey, we're Washington. We had it, Laremy Tunsil. We drafted a right tackle that you're hoping that makes an impact. That's two players that should start for them that they did not have last year. You also added Deebo Samuel. The Philadelphia side, you lost Milton Williams. You don't have a definitive replacement for him. You're going to find out if there is a guy at training camp. You lost Josh Sweat. You don't have a you guys were just talking about it. You don't have a definitive guy. You're hoping Jalix Hunt, but that's a wild card. You lost Darius Slay. You don't have a definitive answer there. You're going to battle it out at training camp. You lost Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. There's no definitive answer. That's another training camp battle. You have four training camp battles that need to be figured out before you say we're a finished product here. Right. Meanwhile, Washington is saying, hey, we have our offense that went to the NFC Championship game. We add Laremy Tunsil. Our first-round pick's going to play on the right side. We think our offensive line's better. Deebo Samuel, I know some people are iffy on him, but it's the best weapon they've had opposite of Terry McLaurin. So if you're in Washington, do you think you've closed the gap on Philadelphia? I won 12 games last year. I feel like if I'm Washington, there's a good reason for me to say we match up way better than we did a year ago.
Fair take. Get me fired up for training camp, too, Mike.
Right? Well, listen, we asked the question, like, Vic Fangio all of a sudden has become like Jeff Stoutland. Like, just give him players and they'll just be good all of a sudden. True. And to which I said, oh, everybody, I like Vic Fangio did a great job last year, but pumped the brakes a little bit. Like, he just was in Miami and that team was a disaster. You know, he got fired from Denver. Like, it wasn't like all these teams were just magically great. He got here. And he did an unbelievable job with what he had. But, you know, think about this. We talked about it yesterday because somebody texted into my show about, well, Jaden Daniels might have a sophomore slump. Okay. Well, what if Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean take a step back?
Can't talk like that, Mike.
No, it's I'm just saying.
It's a great point. I'm just joking.
Here's another one. Zach Bond was an all-pro out of nowhere last year. Is he going to be better? Is he going to be the same? You know, or is he going to regress a little bit? I have no idea. Those three players, you're all just assuming are going to continue to get better, and I hope that they do. I think the only guy on defense right now where you're like, I think I know what I'm getting, is Jalen Carter. Other than that, is Nolan Smith going to be better? Is Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean going to take another step forward? What is Reed Blankenship without Chauncey Gardner-Johnson next to him? I watched him play in 2023, and I didn't like what I saw all that much. So can he be the leader in the safety room that he had to be in 2023, and that didn't work out so well? So there's a lot of stuff on defense that I think training camp is going to have to really figure out.
So you got questions on 10 of the 11 starters on D, and I don't think you're unfounded on many of them.
Well, how many of these guys? I mean, you got two guys who are now going into their second year. If you were to ask me what I think, I like both those guys a lot. I don't expect them to take steps back. So I feel good about – you're asking me personally.
Right. But the possibility does exist, to your point.
We can't just assume that these guys have now established themselves if this is who they are. We've seen a lot of guys kind of flash, and then you're like, what happened to that guy? You know, what happened you know, the guy was out in the two guys out in Seattle. I mean, they had like the new Legion of Boom out there. What happened to Wilton? And like, they just all of a sudden, like, they had really good rookie years, and then they kind of like took a step back a little bit. I don't think that's going to happen with these two guys, but the possibility exists. So to go back to the original question, what do people think? They're given the benefit of the doubt, which they should. They filled a lot of areas. They drafted five straight defensive players. You're hoping, in my mind, Campbell, Mukuba, that those two guys with Ty Robinson are factors. I don't know if they're first-day starters on the field all the time, but you're hoping at least they're in the rotation right off the bat. But even if they are in the rotation, are they an upgrade over the guy they're replacing? Probably not.
Yeah, I think if you look at it logically, I mean, if you look at what they lost on defense, I'm in Mike's camp here. I mean, aren't you up front, you lose one starter, two starters, Josh Sweat and Milton Williams, and a really significant role player in Brandon Graham. At cornerback, you lose a six-time Pro Bowl corner in Darius Slay. On the downside of his career, but still played at a high level last year. You lose Isaiah Rogers, who's great as the third corner. Linebacker, you lose your third linebacker, Oren Burks, who, you know, filled in very well for N'Kobe Dean when he got injured. And N'Kobe, who knows when he's going to be ready? Who knows when Jahad Campbell's going to be ready? And then at safety, as you pointed out, you trade C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who's just, you know, playmaker, leaves playmaker, and now you have to replace that. And what at any of those spots have the Eagles improved? I would argue no. That's a lot of spots.
Sight unseen, I would say no. I mean, is Drew Mukuba going to come
term.
In?
Short right. term.
Is Drew Mukuba going to come in and get six interceptions? I find that hard to believe, but hey, I'm hopeful. Is Ty Robinson going to come in and give you outstanding pass rush and play 50% of the snaps? Hopeful. Don't know if I see that right off the bat. Campbell's a wild card. How do they use him? Where do they use him? How many snaps is he getting? Like, I talked about this on my show, maybe with you, John, on Monday. He was the 31st pick, okay? He should have been a top 10 pick. They had him on the board, yada, yada, yada. I'm sure you got similar rhetoric to when Nolan Smith, yeah, we had him higher on our board, blah, blah, blah. Nolan Smith was picked 30th. How many snaps did he get as a rookie?
Yeah, I pointed that out.
Minimal. So he made a minimal impact in the same draft position as Campbell did. So I am hopeful, and I like the Campbell pick a lot. I am hopeful that he has a bigger role than a player like Nolan Smith did as a rookie. Nolan Smith had essentially no role as a rookie. He was picked 30th.
Yeah. Campbell was By the way, that 31st. Applies to the second round pick too. You know, John pointed this out to me. The second round picks who have contributed, Cooper DeJean was 40. Landon Dickerson was in the 30s. Even Cam Jurgens was 51. Mukuba was 64. The closest one he was drafted to was Tyler Steen, who was 65, the first pick of the third round. And he barely plays in year three, going into year three. So,
yeah, I mean, and you look at, I think of that group, you know, Campbell, obviously you're hopeful that, you know, he really was a top 10 player and the injuries kind of pushed him back, but that he's healthy and can contribute and play. I'm just going off of Nolan Smith was drafted in the same spot. So if you're saying he's a first round pick, he has to contribute. Nolan Smith was too, and he contributed buckus his first year in this league. Zero. He gave you a nothing burger as a rookie. Now, second year, he was better. Maybe Campbell the first year, maybe we should, you know, curb our expectations for Campbell. But I'm looking at corner. Mac McWilliams is a guy I like a lot. Now, he's been a slot guy for the most part. Are you going to stick him on the outside and say, hey, go battle with, you know, Adoree Jackson and Kaylee Ringo and get into that competition? Or are they going to use him as, hey, we're going to put this guy in the slot so that we can use Cooper in dime packages on the outside and move this guy in. So he's going to be interesting to see how they use. But you look around. We talked about yesterday on my show. Darius Slay, was he a all-pro? No, but you never had to say, oh, my God, Darius Slay's on the other side. You knew the guy was giving you a professional effort every right. single week. Are you getting a professional effort every single week and every single quarter from Kaylee Ringo? Or is there big plays going to be happening every now and then where you're like, hey, remember the term X play when Chip Kelly was here? You saw him every week. Like, is Kaylee Ringo or Adoree Jackson ready to be a similar level of contributor that Darius Slay? And we're talking about Darius Slay here. We're not talking about some bozo who just walked out the door. He was pretty darn good last year. And you just take it for granted because Quinyon Mitchell was so outstanding.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, all around, you
how
know,
did I wake up and feel like I'm being the miserable guy today?
Oh my goodness, Mike, you came in here with gasoline everywhere, Mike.
You need to take some of the heat off me, so I appreciate it, Mike.
I got my coffee, you know, I'm feeling good. I'm outside, it's 80 degrees. Well,
because I think it's, you know, there's a lot of assumptions being made that rookies and very young players are going to replace really good players.
Yeah.
And it generally doesn't work out that way. Might happen or one. We're talking about seven positions. I ran them down. Eight, really, if you want to add Oren Burks. Maybe it happens with one or two of them.
By the way, John, you have to add Oren Burks. He started in the Super Bowl. I mean, he was a huge contributor. And he started, you know, he started basically the entire playoff run for this team. It's akin to, you know, when Jason Peters got hurt and Vitae had to play left tackle. I mean, he played left tackle essentially the entire second half of the season.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, when you lose a player who had that type of impact, that is now something that needs to be accounted for.
So, of those eight, you know, four would be a grand slam. Two or three would be great. But all eight?
Well, let's even account for this, okay? And I believe this. I'm just saying, look, there's a possibility, right, that Zach Bond, Quinyon Mitchell, and Cooper DeJean maybe aren't as good or better than they were last year. I think we're all just assuming they were awesome as rookies. They got
to
be
better. Well, that's why, and to your point, I'm glad you brought that up. That's with the assumption that Quinyon plays at the same level. Cooper plays correct. Nolan plays at the same level. And that's probably not going to – Zach Bond, that's probably not going to happen. You know, correct. At least one or
so
two of
let's
them
just
are
assume, gonna... Let's assume that all of the guys are either as good or take a step forward. Okay, great. Who's replacing Milton Williams' production, Josh Sweat's production, Darius Slay, what he brought to the back end, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson? That's still four key spots that right now you are.
And Josh Sweat, did we mention Josh?
Josh Sweat, yeah. Williams, Sweat, you could throw Slay in there, and of course, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Those four players all need to be replaced. Is the replacement player right now an upgrade over those four guys? And that's assuming that Zach Bond, and by the way, are we assuming that Kobe Dean is stepping right back in there and playing at a really high level? That's kind of hard to believe in my mind right now. And by the way, the Eagles drafted not one, but two linebackers. Maybe their messaging is we're a little.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto. at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker dealer.
Worry about N'Kobe Dean too, because when was the last time the Eagles drafted any linebacker, let alone two in the same draft?
All right, Mike, all these possibilities exist, but what's your opinion? Where are they going to fall next year? They're going to be top five, top 10. I mean, you're right.
You know why? First off, Xander, you know why
if it's bust case scenario, though, shit, man, we could be like 25. Where do you got the defense this year?
I got asked yesterday, do I think the Eagles will be a top three defense? And that's when I kind of was like, all right, let's pump the brakes here, okay? They lost four starters on the defensive side of the ball and have a lot of questions. For them to be the number one defense last year was truly unbelievable. And four of the key guys from that are gone. I can't sit here and tell you now that I see a top three defense when I'm replacing Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who had 12 interceptions in 2 years here. 12. I don't know who's playing that position. Where are you getting six interceptions from that changes the complexion of a game from the group of guys that they're throwing at you right now? Now, John, you were on my show, I think on last week, and you said if they don't draft a safety, Justin Simmons could be here a couple days later. Well, they did draft a safety. Does that preclude them from saying we're good enough in that room now that we shouldn't add a safety? Or do they still think we might not be good enough in that room? I'm interested to see.
Well,
I think
it sets it back. I said, you know, they'll look at, and this happens all the time across every team, they'll look at the young players in OTAs, mini camp, even into training camp. And if it becomes obvious, and with Vic, it'll be quicker than most because Vic is good. He'll assess really quickly, is this guy ready? And if the answer is no, then you have, and Howie was very, and he's very consistent. Talent gathering season is not over for the Philadelphia Eagles. And he talks about it all the time. There will be guys signed after the draft. Not a lot, but there could be a body here and there. And then into training camp, he's made big time trades in the past. CJ being one of them the first time. Ronald Darby during the Super Bowl seasons, another example. You know, if they look at it and say, all right, we're just not good enough here, they'll try to uncover a different rock. And
how long do you have to go before there's a player of that magnitude that just sits out there?
Well, it depends. Like Justin Simmons is, you know, teams were probably waiting to get the compensatory pick aspect out of it. Certainly the Eagles were. But they drafted a safety. So I think the timeline on him falls back. So then it's up to Justin Simmons. Does he want to sit and wait until training camp? Might be injury related to another team where they say, all right, we need a safety. Let's go get Justin Simmons and pay him $7, $8 million. Depends. A lot of times it depends on the veteran. How far does he want to take it? And if somebody calls him up today and says, hey, we got a job for you, he might say, I was hoping for the Eagles, but I got to go here.
Gotcha. Well, and to go back to your question, Xander, you know, my opinion would be, I think Quinyon Mitchell is a stud. I think he's going to be as good, if not better. I think he'll only keep improving. Same with Cooper DeJean. I think he is a tremendous asset to have. So I'm not sitting here saying I think. I'm just saying I don't know. Maybe these guys are just
fair. I think the speculations you brought up are fair. I mean, you look at the history of the NFL and the team. Look, I mean, that's how it works.
We have this debate on my show all the time. We have a segment with one of my producers, Nick Earnshaw, you know, throws topics at me, and he thinks I hate the Eagles because I say they should ban the tush push. I say, no, as an Eagles fan, I don't want to see them lose the tush push. I'm saying as an objective football fan, I think it gives the offense an unfair advantage. So if I'm running football, I would probably ban the play. As an Eagles fan, I don't want to see the play go, so I'm not advocating that. So my point is, I'm just trying to look at it from a football landscape, not an Eagles observer. I'm just saying, you got two young guys who were a big part of your defense. Do we all anticipate they're going to be better than they were a year ago? That's hard. I mean, it's like for these guys to continue to improve, that's how you become. This is the big stuff step for there. Like, you know, you take a look at Zach Bond. He came out of nowhere and did what he did last year. I would imagine teams are going to watch what he did on film and try to attack him a little differently and do some different things. Do the Eagles adjust the way they use him? Can he just assume I'm coming back and playing the same way I did last year and that's going to be good enough? Zach Bond is a complete wild card, I have to assume. I mean, this guy's not Mike Singletary in there all of a sudden. I mean, let's
he might be.
Right. Well, that if he has another good year, fine. Then we
How about
all
Nolan
say,
Smith. What do you think, Nolan Smith?
Nolan Smith's interesting because as a rookie, he did nothing. Last year he gave you a pretty
half a season, basically.
Right. He gave you a very good back end of the season. So you know, I've seen guys play back ends of the season. There was a guy named Bobby Hoying. He was pretty good for a half of a season, and then he was horrible. throw the Bobby Hoying stuff out at you.
Like you're stirring this pot today, brother. I love it.
Well,
let's not take so much from small sample sizes. Nolan Smith, by the way, I do think, you know, I asked you guys, I think a couple weeks ago, he had 6.5 sacks last year. What's his ceiling? Is he 10, 12? I mean, you get 6.5 sacks. What do you follow that up with the next year to become an ascending player?
Well, here's another thing, and I talked about it because he brought up Washington.
Now, yeah,
like I'm pretty confident, Mike, that Jaden Daniels is not going to have the same statistical season he had as a rookie, and he might end up being a better player. Like people can't wrap their heads around that. There's going to be adjustments to it, to what he did last year. It's going to be more. You saw it with C.J. Stroud. He might get better as a player, but his numbers will go back. That, to me, could happen with Zach Bond. Like, he's not hitting those numbers again. He might be even a better player, but it's just not sustainable. I think that's the part that I think a lot of people can't wrap their heads around. He might even be better from play to play to play to play. He might make less mistakes from play to play to play to play. But to get that many splash plays, that's going to be really, really difficult to replicate.
Now, is Quinion Mitchell going to become the guy that nobody throws at? And particularly because Kaylee Ringo's playing on the other side. So Mitchell, I have less doubts about. Cooper DeJean, I don't have a lot of doubts about him. I think he's a very talented player and smart player and knows they know how to use him, and they're probably evolving with what they want to do with him. So I personally don't think that those two guys are going to regress. Just saying, it's not a fait accompli two rookies from last year are now going to be.
Well, and the same thing happens with them. They might get play better, but it may not show up.
Yeah.
On with as many wins or on the stat sheet or the number one defense, but they might get better as players.
Yeah, and you mentioned C.J. Stroud. As a rookie, he was outstanding. Last year, I think people would look at him and say, man, he took a step back.
Did he, though?
Did he? I mean, the offensive line was a disaster down there. Then he lost Diggs. Then he lost Dell.
It wasn't as pretty as year one.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the point. As far as Vic goes, I'll push back, though, on one thing, because I'm a big, big guy. And I do think he'll maximize what he has. The problem is he doesn't have as much as he had last year. That's the problem.
Exactly. And
like people say about Miami,
and they weren't very good.
Well, that's what I'm pushing back. They were damn good until Jalen Phillips and Andrew Van Ginkel got hurt. Then they fell apart. They were a damn good defense, not fair. Number one.
Yeah, but to be fair, at this point of the offseason last year, you could have said a lot of these same questions. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong that the possibility exists that they're bust this year, but Zach Bond, we had no clue. We thought Devin White was going to be the linebacker. N'Kobe Dean played significant reps. We didn't know.
I'm Cooper, taking that.
Cooper and Quinion, Nolan Smith, like a lot of the guys who were a big part of the defense at this time last year, we had questions on them too. So I guess the questions are, you know, are fair, but it could go either way still, right?
Absolutely. And look, when we entered training camp last year, the linebacker position, many people, regardless of whether you thought Bond was going to be the guy or Devin White or whoever, the answer was, it doesn't matter who it is. It's the worst linebacker room in the league, right? It didn't matter who won the job. It was whoever gets this job, it's the worst. Well,
by the way, that's how Nick Sirianni earned his $20 million contract. He told Vic Fangio, put him at off-ball linebacker.
Yeah, there you go. Put this guy at off-ball linebacker and watch him flourish like a flower, right? That's exactly what happened there. But yeah, you just don't know.
Did I miss something? Did Nick say that at some point?
I thought that was reported that Nick was the guy that told Vic to move him off ball linebacker.
No,
I didn't hear that.
Nick said that in a press conference.
Vic?
I have to look through the transcript. But that being said, I am the one thing that I think is very intriguing moving forward from this point now is number one, what veterans now do they target because of areas that they feel we're not good enough at? They got 7 tight ends on the roster right now. I mean, some undrafted guys, some mini camp guys, but 7. There's 7. So what's going to happen with that tight end spot? That's one. Which veterans do they bring in at areas where they think – now, they brought in Adoree Jackson already. Is that qualify as, hey, if all else fails, Adoree Jackson's fine, and he is, you know – the guy that
it was Mekhi Becton, by the way. I was wrong on that. It was Nick who said Mekhi Becton should move to guard. My bad. I thought it was Bond.
Yeah, that yeah.
John gave me the look. I'm like, oh, I might be wrong on that.
that was all Mick.
Which veteran players do they target? Like, is Adoree Jackson? Like, do they feel like, hey, if we want Ringo to win this job, but if he does it, we got Adoree Jackson and we're cool with that. Like, is Adoree Jackson just a solid enough player? Won't, you know, embarrass you out there and is a solid veteran? Fine. Do they look to bring in a safety that's a veteran? Right now, that room is very green. Very, you know, think about it. People love Reed Blankenship because, you know, oh, he was a part of that defense last year. He was the safety on the team 2 years ago with Terrell Edmonds and Kevin Byard and the guy from Tampa that was a, you know, always hurt, whose name's escaping me, but that year didn't go so well. Yeah, who was that guy? Justin Evans?
Justin Evans, yeah. He started. That was
Justin Evans started. Terrell Edmonds played. Then they finally traded for Byard. They played everybody at that safety spot. The one constant was Blankenship for the most part, and that didn't go so well.
You know, Justin Evans was sort of the N'Kobe Dean of that year. All of a sudden, you know, it's is it going to be Terrell Edmonds or is it? And Kevin Byard was a trade pickup in season. Mm-hmm. And I forget who the other safety was, but it was, you know, Terrell Edmonds or and I'll try to look it up. But and Reed was taking every first team rep. Reed was entrenched with I think surprised a lot of people. And then all of a sudden, last week of training, here comes Justin Evans. And, you know, he was a second-round pick, and he was a big-time emerging talent in Tampa Bay early in his career. And then he's just had a bunch of injuries. And so you're thinking, well, maybe he's healthy. Maybe he can play. And he played the first couple of games. He's injured. You'd never see him again. I mean, it's one of those things where a decent player, but just the injuries overwhelmed his career. But in the case, yeah, I mean, look, I think Reed's a better player, I think, than most Eagles fans think because of his undrafted pedigree. Like, I think people default to that. Like, he's always an undrafted guy. He's undrafted. How good could he be? Well, I see him play every week. He's damn good.
Yeah.
He was damn good last year. He wasn't the problem. And you know, he was one of the
guys. Sometimes you're not the problem, but as a unit, if he's the guy you're relying on to be the best guy of the unit, are you good enough?
Yeah, I mean, well, the problem is replacing CJ and what he brings to the defense.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the problem. That, to me, is wholly different from Reed. I think, you know, Reed's rock solid at his job. But to assume that Andrew Mukuba or Sidney Brown are going to replace CJ's production, they'll probably won't be as big a pain in the ass while having that production, but I'd rather have the pain in the ass with the production.
Of that group right now, right, you got Mukuba, you got Sidney Brown, Tristan McCollum, Lewis Cine. You got four guys who have, what, a combined 10 games? I mean, really, I mean, Sidney Brown really hasn't played all that much. He started a little bit as a rookie, but, you know, you've got McCollum who got on the field a little bit last year. So you've got basically no experience at your safety spot. So that right now, there's a definitive no answer for what that spot is. Your corner spot, if you're going with Ringo, he's got some experience, but not a whole heck of a lot. So that's a complete wild card at this point. You know, the other two areas, I like Morrow. I think he can do, you know, is he going to make $26 million? Based on what he does this year,
he ain't gonna be Milt Williams. I like Morrow too, but he ain't gonna. Bottom line, he ain't gonna be Milt Williams.
And he ain't gonna get paid here if he is that.
I think Morrow, at least you could say, okay, is he Milton Williams? No, but at least I know he can do the job. He's played. He's had a role here before. I can at least say, hey. So the question is, who replaces what Morrow did? Right. And does that guy, is that Ty Robinson? Is it somebody else? Is it Thomas Booker, Gabe Hall, one of those guys? Can they have a bigger role? So your top three guys, I think you're still within range of what you did last year, replacing Milton Williams. Are you better than Milton Williams? No, but at least you've got a guy who was here and played as much as Milton did. At safety, you don't have a player that played anywhere near. Ringo has played nowhere near what the guy previous did. And then at the edge spot, I mean, Jalix Hunt is such a wild card. I mean, this guy was playing safety in the Ivy League 3 years ago, and now you're relying on him to replace Josh Sweat, who just had 2.5 sacks in the Super Bowl, and you're saying, hey, man, you were meandering at Harvard, and now you're replacing Reggie White's position. I mean, what do we like? That's what's going on here right now.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, Josh is one of those guys I think people will recognize now that he's gone. I mean, that guy was just rock solid.
Yeah, consistent every
just
time.
Rock
well,
solid.
And because he's not, as John, you point out a lot, the number of sacks. It's not the, you know, that's not the number of sacks. It's the other stuff that goes around. He's not a 15 sack guy, so he's not mentioned.
He's an every down edge though.
Oh, yeah.
Correct. He sets the edge very well. You know, he came up big in big moments, I'll tell you that. I don't think anybody was like, oh, man, Josh Sweat's my favorite player. He's amazing. I mean, he wasn't Hassan Reddick from 3 years ago. That dude was all over the place getting to the quarterback. But, yeah, you're losing Josh Sweat, and you're replacing him with Jalix Hunt. I actually like Ojulari. I was a big fan of that signing. I think that that one's going to be a little bit of a surprise for people.
Hopefully, you know, he had a lot of injury issues with the Giants.
He did. Yeah. The Eagles have taken the chance on a lot of these guys with the injuries and saying, hey, but I think Ojulari, if he can stay healthy, is the guy that separates from that group.
Oh, I agree. He's the best. I think if you ask me who's going to win that other job, I would say Ojulari over Hunt. I've said that pretty consistently.
If Ojulari's healthy and it's this group of guys and they don't bring anybody else in, I, at the end of the year, will think that we would say, man, they found this guy again. What a great pickup. That's the guy.
Ojulari. Mike, give me something positive, man. Who's your favorite draft pick this year, man? You like anybody to have a big year? Who's got the highest upside? Give me something, Mike. What do you like in the draft this year?
Well, I love the Campbell pick. I did, and I was shocked. I mean, literally, it's 11:27 at night. And I'm getting ready to pack it in, and I see the Eagles make a trade. And at that moment, I'm like, they made a trade up one spot. Who could they be targeting here? And when they said Campbell, I was fall off the chair. I was like, Whoa.
By the way, guys, got to break in. Eagles are exercising the fifth-year option on Jordan Davis.
There you go. We were waiting for that news, John.
So there you go.
All right.
Which I told you yesterday. I told you during the draft. Howie non-confirmed confirmed.
Gotcha.
We believe in Jordan.
So Davis. I love the Campbell pick. I hope he has a big impact this year. I'm very intrigued to see what they do with him. Is this because they don't think Dean is ready to play, or are they just going to use him all over the place and kind of, you know, unleash him as some sort of wild card joker type of player, you know, similar to what Dallas had to do with Micah Parsons. You know, Parsons, people, you know, he was a linebacker. They had so many injuries that they put him on the defensive edge, and he was such a game wrecker that they just kind of kept him there. So Campbell, I like the pick a lot. He's got to be healthy. That's number one. But I did like that pick. Makuba, I like the player. I just don't think he's going to be better than Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I'm sorry. That doesn't mean he's going to stink. I think you're right.
I don't think that guy's going to be Chauncey, especially year one. Maybe he could get to that point.
Yeah. Well, for instance, Milton Williams was pretty insignificant as a rookie. Yeah. He played a little bit more in his second year. In fact, his second year, I think he had like 4 sacks in very limited snaps. And I remember talking to him. I was like, listen, if this guy could get more snaps, you double his snaps. Can he go from 4 sacks to 8 snaps? And he just kind of slowly progressed to the point, and he's never had a year numbers wise that you were like, Jesus, this guy's a beast, but he made a big enough impact, but it was a slow rise for Milton. He, you know, insignificant,
very slow.
So even if Ty Robinson has a role, I would imagine it's not a huge role like Milton was as a rookie, and he might flash in small amount of snaps, and you might say, why isn't this guy getting more time? I was always championing for Milton to get more time, but you know, Ty Robinson is 285 pounds. I mean, he's a smaller defensive tackle, so he might not be able to play half the snaps right away. They probably need to get him bigger and stronger. So I like the Ty Robinson pick. I do wonder, they trade it. I was in the car a lot on Saturday, and they just kept trading back, trading back, trading back. Was there not a player in the third round that, I mean, did they completely overlook adding more talent in the third round?
No, they were trying. Howie said they were trying to trade up at one point and didn't work out. Sometimes, the assumption, I say it all the time, way too many people assume, oh, they want to trade up, they'll trade up. You need two people. You need two. Right.
A lot of Eagles fans think they were boxing Howie out on purpose. I don't know if you guys think there's any merit to that.
Well, you get boxed out when you're at the bottom of every round. You always get boxed out.
I was just surprised because they had so many draft picks piled up that they kept trading back to add more.
Right. I thought they were going to use the picks to move to get less
and
picks.
I look at 96 and I say, you know, who were they trying to go up and get? And, you know, 95 was Jared Wilson. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Jared Wilson, center from Georgia, although he is from Georgia. Dillon Gabriel, pretty sure it wasn't Dillon Gabriel. There was a safety, Jonas Sanker, but they already took the safety. Jalen Milroe was 92. They don't want Jalen Milroe. Although who knows, but I doubt it. Emory Jones was a tackle. Josiah Stewart was an edge rusher. From Michigan. I guess that's a slight possibility. Wyatt Millam, guard from West Virginia, your guy, Mike. That's a possibility. They did homework on him.
How about the 101 trade back, John? Wasn't Jalen Travis taken right before there? That was the guy I thought maybe they
might. No, Charles Grant. Charles Grant. If they wanted Charles Grant, they would have took him at 96. So I think that the trade at 96 was the key. They wanted to move up from 96. And when they couldn't, they just moved down again to try to maximize probably the grouping fell off.
Yeah.
And they felt comfortable going into the fourth round.
That said, Xander, you know, I'm talking about Ty Robinson. I like the player a lot. I think he's going to have a role on this team. I don't know how big it is, but again, like my point is, Milton made $26 million based on the year that he had,
right,
not the career that he had, right? I mean, they didn't look back and say, as a rookie, man, this guy is going to be a $30 million player. But I think Robinson can have a role in this team that makes a little bit of an impact right away. I do like Smile Mondi, as I thought he was a pretty sneaky pick at five. Very productive player, Georgia player, little small on the smaller size, but I wouldn't be shocked if Nakobe isn't ready, if he's a factor right off the bat, because that dude could play. He is a beast, tackler, fast, athletic, and I mean, basically is in that spot because he got hurt, same as a lot of these guys, but that dude is a player, big time. So all like right. that, and I like their deep picks. You know, the you know, whatever. I mean, you're talking about offensive linemen in the sixth round, but Hinton's dad was a beast. I can tell you that much.
He was on the show yesterday, our afternoon show. Chris Hinton was on Chris our show. Was a beast. Really good. Really cool to hear him.
Should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Chris Hinton was a stud. If his kid is anything close to him,
well,
you know,
he's not.
You got Jeff Stoutland. Well, let's say Pete Kendall.
Chris Hinton was the fourth pick in the draft. He was Lane Johnson.
Yeah. He was awesome. Yes. Yeah.
All right, Mike, I want to give you a I want to give you a range, all right, for Jihad Campbell. The range is, and I know they're different positions, so it's going to be hard, but I think you'll understand what I'm saying. The range is Nolan Smith rookie year, and the other side of the range is Quinyon and Cooper's rookie year, where they were huge parts of the defense. Jihad Campbell will fall where? How big of an impact will he be rookie year?
Well, I would say somewhere in the middle of those two. Somewhere between Nolan Smith.
You had to go.
That's a good thing. I was worried you were going to say Nolan Smith.
If you had to go 50-50, though, if you had to lean one direction, so go 51-49, you going up or going down?
That's good. There you go, John.
I
go toward Nolan.
This is not even hard for me. I'm going towards Nolan. Negativity continue. But it's more about the injuries. Yeah. I got no idea when this guy's going to be ready to play.
I don't even know what they're going to do with him.
Well, I mean, we know what they want to do with him.
Yeah,
well,
you know, absolutely.
But I use Cooper as an example. Remember, Cooper hurt his hamstring.
Yeah, he didn't play for four weeks.
Yeah, he didn't play for 4 weeks because he hurt his hamstring 20 days before training camp. And he was out for 3 weeks in training camp. And Vic decided, we gotta push this back for 4 weeks. And Cooper was changing positions from his college position. So part of it was learning a new position. This guy's learning a bunch of different positions. At least that's the projection, Jihad Campbell. I have no idea when he's going to be healthy. Everybody talks about Nakobe Dean. Well, what makes you think Jihad Campbell's going to be there week one? He just had labrum surgery.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Quinyon Mitchell to me.
That word that's sticking in my head.
Oh, by the way, did you see Albert Breer's report about Jihad Campbell?
I did. I actually read that from your repost yesterday on my show. I would say Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean had about as high quality of rookie seasons at the positions that they play that you can have. I mean, that is tough to top, to get two guys at those positions where a lot of mistakes are made to excel at the level they did, to assume that you're going to get a player, another rookie, and they're going to excel at that level. That's a lot of expectation. So to answer that, I'd have to go slide it closer to what Nolan did as a rookie. Now, I can make the argument that Nolan maybe should have been given more of an opportunity as a rookie. I don't know. Probably wasn't ready.
Probably should have.
Right. So hopefully the Eagles allow and give Campbell more of an opportunity based on the fact
Nolan
that
Nolan had a shoulder in year one, right? Didn't he have that famous, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
But that was a chronic condition. One of the reasons Nolan fell in the draft from a potential top 15 pick to 30, similar to Jihad Campbell, injuries happens all the time. People were concerned about it. Nolan, as you mentioned, one of the great quotes ever, "That's my baby. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't." We all looked at him like, what are we going? And, you know, he proved at least for half a season last year that his baby held up, but he tore his triceps. in the Super Bowl. So I guess you have to throw that in the mix as well. With Jihad, he had surgery in March. I mean, if you look online, and I'm not a doctor, but labrum surgery is 6 to 12 months, which is pretty wide range. But let's say 6 months, because he's a high-level athlete. Well, April, May, June, July, August, September is month 6.
Yeah.
Start of the season with no training camp.
No right. training camp.
And Vic Fangio's defense?
I don't think he's starting week 1. There's no way.
I mean, look what happened. Cooper was out for 3 weeks in training camp with a much less serious injury, and it took him to week 5 to get in the lineup.
Yeah.
So I think people need to temper their immediate expectations with Jihad Campbell. And Howie said, long term, we have no concerns. That's what I think you should be focused on.
I would imagine to get drafted in that spot, the medical stuff has to be checked up, down, inside out. Now, somebody texted in to my show the other day and said, "Oh, they got Sidney Jones completely wrong. You know, he had an Achilles problem. They drafted him.
Right, he gets some wrong.
Exactly.
It happens all the time.
So just because the doctors have said, hey, because look, you know, they get criticized a lot for not taking DK Metcalf. Well, Metcalf had a medical red flag with his neck, right? I mean, he had a neck problem that.
Yeah, he was off their board till day 3.
Correct. So when they took JJ Arcega-Whiteside and DK Metcalf was there, not because they didn't think, maybe they thought DK was better, but medically they were told, hey, you can't take this guy because of a medical red flag. That red flag was not on this particular player, so they felt comfortable enough taking him, which is why I think we should feel comfortable enough that he will be ready at some point. When that point is, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, like, long-term, and that's what Howie said. Long-term, there's no concerns.
Well, and one thing I think the draft is for – the long term, not immediacy. But when you're at that draft and in that moment, you want that guy to play and contribute right away.
Especially when you lose all those guys on defense.
And especially, you know, it's a first round pick and we're all just kind of trained. Hey, you're a first round pick. You got to play. We just saw 2 years ago, Nolan Smith was a first round pick and he did not play. And they were drafted essentially in the same
spot. Remember, the Eagles are a good team. So
just like Nolan didn't play, we've also had Quinion who played, Devontae Smith who played, Jalen Carter who played. So there's also those examples that people look to and, you know, they tend to side toward the positive, and I think people are expecting that.
Jalen Carter was also projected to be the number one player in the draft.
I know. He's different. I know.
But,
same with Devontae.
Now, listen.
Those guys were healthy, too. That's a big part of it. I'm just saying, absolutely. Temper your expectations for week 1. That's all I'm saying.
Well, listen, if he's ready to go and can get on the field in training camp, and we don't know what his timeline is, but if he can be on the field in training camp and can then compete realistically for a position, that changes the dynamics. You know, that, hey, if you're out there competing and can show us right off of, you know, is he going to be on the field this weekend? I would doubt it, right?
No. Well, next weekend, it's not official yet, but I assume rookie camp is going to be next weekend. But,
it's the third. It's the third and the fourth. It's this weekend.
I've got no information on that.
I thought it was May 3rd and 4th. I'll have to double check on that. That's what my
you might be right. They haven't alerted me.
John, which is not left out in the dark, brother.
But they do things last minute. So
no,
they do things very last minute.
All right, Mike, thanks for the extra time today, man. Now I have to check.
Thanks for bringing that up to me.
You might have
you
to work
in here weekend. With a 5-gallon jug of gasoline, and you unloaded the entire thing on the Birds 365 community, and I love it. Mike Gill, well done, brother. We appreciate it. Make sure you guys follow him at Mike Gill Show everywhere, also on YouTube. Go subscribe to his YouTube channel at Mike Gill Show and listen to him on 97.3 ESPN down the shore. Mike, thanks for doing it, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
See ya.
Thanks, Mike.
Coming in.
I'm trying to look at.
And he's got you in a frenzy, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, it was May 3rd last year. I don't know what he's looking at. Like the Eagles published offseason work was you know, their OTAs and things like that. That's been public for a while, but that doesn't include rookie camp.
They heard you. They heard you say the Timu signing too much, Johnny Mac. They're
no, I mean, no. This is just how they work. Now it wouldn't surprise me at all, but boy, I was hoping not. Similarly, because I have a tree guy coming over on Friday, so oh, I was crossing man. I was crossing my fingers that it would be next week, from a selfish standpoint. But yeah, it's not.
I'll be confirmed. I haven't seen it anywhere.
Yeah, it's not. They're not trying to be. They do things late, so I'm not saying it's not possible. But I'm hoping this is Wednesday. I'm hoping it's going to be next week.
Johnny Mac.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.